I'm here really to speak from the point of view of somebody who's engaged in doing interdisciplinary research. So I hope to offer some practical comments about the doing rather than perhaps some of the kind of overarching ideas. And I'll try and be brief because I realise we need to have some time for discussion. I've noticed in a room, if somebody is asked to, if we're asked to explain our disciplines, if there's an interdisciplinary researcher there, there's often a hesitation about trying to explain what you're about. And as somebody myself who initially went through an arts and humanities degree and a PhD in philosophy and then did medicine, my hesitation is quite a long one. And I usually try and assess the room and think, well, what's the audience? What would the audience expect? But I can proclaim tonight that I am proudly an interdisciplinary researcher in medical humanities. What does that mean? Well, it means Durham, we are engaged in an Institute of Medical Humanities, which has tremendous support from the Wellcome Trust. But it means that we want to insist on the importance of knowledge and methodologies across the disciplines, arts, humanities, social science, as well as clinical science, for understanding health and illness and working out the best ways of improving health. We get together in research groups to enable different disciplines to coalesce around a single subject matter. And we've heard that idea rehearsed tonight, that I think it was from the minister who talked about the idea of degrees focusing not just on disciplines but on subject matter. So on that point, I think one of the important points to make, and again the minister made this, is that the time has come for interdisciplinarity in education and indeed in research. It's certainly true of healthcare that interdisciplinary research's time has come. The Academy of Medical Sciences recently produced a report, The Health of the Public by 2040, which looks at approaches to public health improvement, explicitly calling for transdisciplinary research, including the involvement of arts and humanities. Because of the nature of the drivers of research, which include social and cultural drivers, environmental drivers, health inequalities drivers, where we really do need the knowledge that comes across disciplines to think about, to address, and to raise new questions. But the other point that the report makes is that we don't have the skills base in order to do this work. And this is the important point that the minister was making about how we need to change our educational systems. And indeed, for those of us who are engaged in research, one of our big responsibilities is to try to bring on the next generation. Now, we've heard quite a lot about the cultural gulf tonight, C.P. Snow's Two Cultures, talks about the prejudice between, particularly from the humanities towards the scientists, and I think that's shifting and changing now. But Snow says that this lack of literacy impoverishes us because we're unable to take an informed interest in many aspects of our world. And the minister quoted a quotation I was going to quote, actually, about the clashing of the two subjects, two disciplines, etc., galaxies. But he also says the chances are there now. They were there, as it were, in a vacuum because in those two cultures can't talk to each other. So the point is that we need now to overcome that obstruction of talking to each other. And from my experience of working in interdisciplinary projects, there are a number of issues that arise in that ability to talk to one another. And one of them, there's two kind of contradictory aspects. The first is about being aware of the power of critical disciplines. Humanities and social science disciplines are predicated on the need to critically appraise, deconstruct, interpret, to lay open the flaws of an argument or position or treatment or management approach, but without accepting responsibility for suggesting an alternative. I've sometimes thought of this as harping from the sidelines. It's easy to do if you're not taking responsibility for what should be done instead, a bit like Brexit recently, actually. And it can create a damaging them and us culture in a group. So doing interdisciplinary work in my field of medical humanities, we are committed to actually suggesting alternative ways forward, not just saying, don't do that, don't do that. And in contrast to this point, It's also important to be aware of the power of expert knowledge, and I think Cervenka raised this. The idea, the dominating notion of science and its certainties. Expert knowledge based on scientific facts and clinical experience can be very alluring in its certainties and potentially very dominating in a group of academics where people don't deal in such certainties. And the third point, really, is methodologically interdisciplinary work can be very challenging. There's a need to balance complex reality against the need for simplicity. We all enjoy the rich disciplinary conversations in our research groups, but converting these discussions to hypotheses that might form the basis of study design is much more challenging. In my project of Breathlessness, which is funded by the Wellcome at the moment, one of our key questions was, why does measured lung function and the experience of breathlessness not correlate? This is known as symptom discordance. We've got lots of hypotheses about why this might be the case. And in humanities and social sciences, we can hold those possibilities in our heads all at one and the same time and admit that they're all possible. But if we want to test our ideas in fMRI scanners of our science colleagues, we have to balance this complex reality against the need for simplicity in design of a trial or scientific test. How do we address it? Very briefly. Implicit in what I've said is the virtue of humility, meaning a desire to listen and a willingness to learn from others who've got different knowledge and expertise. It's not necessarily a virtue that academics tend to have. Good facilitation of such groups is really important to create safe, supported space where discussions can happen that are respected across disciplinary boundaries and indeed across academic hierarchies. A lot of people have talked about the sense of time that this might take. There are years of acculturation to a discipline, and it's important to give time for people to learn from others and then for these new ideas to start to arise. Good relationships are critical, and good facilitation is key to that. But I also think, finally, good disciplinarians are essential in this work. People whose knowledge of the disciplines is deep and whose handle on their own field is secure, but also have minds allowing an openness of challenge or possibility for thinking differently about the tenets they hold so securely. That has the advantage not only of enabling the discussions in the interdisciplinary groups, but also such people can go back to their own disciplines, bringing this new experience and revitalizing the disciplines that they come from in the first place. So there's lots and lots of other things to say, but that's probably enough for me just now. Thank you very much.